committee. Senator Metzger has excused, has gone to another meeting outside of the city, and Senator Walker will be here shortly. But Mark, you want to just come up, and we'll just open up. As a subcommittee, we'll take some testimony under a work session of 7:10, 7:11, 7:13, 7:14, and 7:15. So please introduce yourself.
Sure. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, for the record, and members of the committee. For the record, Mark Long, Administrator of Building Codes Division, here to talk about Senate Bill 710 through 715, the -2 amendments that we have for each of those bills, except for Senate Bill 714. As you know, we brought folks together between the last hearing that we had on the 2nd or 3rd, and with Senate Bill 710, that's the Regional Code Administration. With the -2, we simply made a technical change in the bill. It had previously changed some of our accounting provisions, and we made it in line with current statute. Senate Bill 711, we made changes that clarify that an architect or an engineer, when working in conventional light frame construction and certified by the state of Oregon, can approve those plans. We provided provision to prioritize plumbing and electrical plan review for complex commercials or complex commercial structures, and we allowed the Building Codes Division to work with our boards to remove conflicts in our codes.
I have no excuse.
We'll reopen as a public hearing in this full committee.
Okay. I'll continue on. Senate Bill 713, with the -2s, we simply changed some shalls to may so that we removed the fiscal impact, allowed Building Codes Division to look at e-permitting and e-governance systems on a statewide and region-wide basis and report back to the legislature on our success. Senate Bill 714, we made no changes, so we're operating off the -1s. In Senate Bill 715, we clarified the role of DCBS, the role of our rapid approval assessment team, and what types of projects would be subject to an owner requesting services of the state and rapid approval. We also merged in Senate Bill 712 into Senate Bill 715-2. Okay?
Sounds very good. Any questions from the committee? Let's see, we set it to vote. Let's go over 710 and, or 710 and 711.
Sure. Senate Bill 710 is the Regional Code Administration bill, and in the -2 amendments, we simply made a technical change. In the -1, it had changed our accounting provisions, where we had 3 account sources, and it changed it to 2. We wanted it to be 3. That's what we had before. That's what we wanted to go for again, so that's simply a technical change. Senate Bill 711, this bill, with the -2 amendments, does 3 things. Allows an architect or an engineer that is certified, so it's an additional step by the state of Oregon as a plans examiner, to approve structures that are conventional light frame, which is your more or less wood frame residential structures. It allowed us to focus our and provide consistency for plan review in the electrical and plumbing areas, and it also provides authority for us to go and look at code conflicts, redundancies, things in the code that might create a problem from a streamlining standpoint, work with our boards, and report back to the legislature on what we did.
Any questions? Are you comfortable with all of these?
Great.
Would anybody else like to come up and present any evidence or testimony on proposed amendments? Is what our hearing is, that there may be some technical things, but in order of trying to get these things moved forward, that we would move them out of the committee today if there were if possible, and then to we could work on it on the House side.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. We've identified some technical areas here. We received the amendments this morning on Senate Bill 715 and Senate Bill 711, so we'll be working with folks to correct
those provisions. There's a good general consensus agreement here.
Yes.
So they're not substantive problems, just tiny little problems.
Our agreement and our consensus documents, through the Chair, Senator Walker, our agreement and our intent has been clarified with the work group. We're all, to my understanding, we're all in agreement. The division is, the rest of the folks, just in some drafting, we need to make a couple changes, so.
Okay.
Sounds very good. All right. Designate that we're working in work session on Senate Bill 710 this particular time. Senate Bill 710 does have a subsequent referral. I think it has a $400,000 potential ways and means issue. So the chair would move the dash to amendments to Senate Bill 710. Discussion, objections, so order. And the chair would move Senate Bill 710 as amended to ways and means. And the discussion?
With a due pass.
With a due pass. Okay, very good. Any objections? So order. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 711. I have dash to amendments. With the understanding that there are some work to be done with that, but in general, the consensus has been reached. Small and technical changes that can be worked on in the House. The chair would move the dash to amendments to 711. Discussion? Objection? So ordered?
Yeah.
What?
Sort of hinted if you wanted to speak.
Nope.
Okay.
And so the chair would move Senate Bill 711 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The Senate Bill also has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, and referral. Okay. Then we should send it first to the President's office to have the referral removed and because of the change in the language.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Amendment.
We do have that fiscal issue that says that.
I don't think we had a fiscal issue, no.
The report reflects that, but Senator Bio, but Mark Long had indicated there's no fiscal impact.
Okay, so the motion is to send first to the Senate President to remove the referral to Ways and Means and then to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. So there's also any discussion? Objections? So ordered. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 713. And there's dash to amendments also in 713. Chair moves the dash to amendments to 713. Discussion? Objection?
That's fine. This one, too, likewise has a referral, and that's disappearing.
I think they all have those, and we're gonna, all these motions will have to approve them. Okay. So the chair would move Senate Bill 713 as amended. First to the President's office for removal of the referral to Ways and Means and then to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
I think this is a good idea, Mr. Chair. Making the building codes more friendly, I hope. At least it makes them accessible. I don't know if they're more friendly, but they're more accessible to the public. And I see this is just a pilot project in three counties. Were those counties chosen for specific reasons, Mr. Allen?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Senator Walker, it focuses on the Tri-County area where we have a service center, and in 99 we created kind of a regional relationship with the jurisdictions up there. It also, there's another part of that bill that has a study, a statewide effort, mm-hmm. and then put together a pilot program in the Tri-County area and learn from those successes and see what we can accomplish on a statewide basis.
Take your show on the road after that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you're in favor of this bill?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Any other objections to this bill? So ordered. Senate Bill, we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 714. And there's dash two amendments also. Dash one amendments on 714. Any discussion on the dash one amendments? Chair moves those. Moves the dash one amendments to 714. Objections? So ordered. Chair moves Senate Bill 714 as amended to the President's office to seek removal of referral to Ways and Means and then to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? No further discussion. So ordered.
Did we, Mr. Chair, did we do that last step with the bill previous to that? Mr. Dotson, do you remember hearing that?
I'm sorry.
Sending it to the president's office? I know we adopted the amendment, but I just didn't hear the second part. Okay.
We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 715, and there are -2 amendments in Senate 15. From Senate 15, Chair moves the -2 amendments to Senate 15. Any discussion?
Just the final bill and a very good package.
Yeah, this is the combined parts of 712 into this.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
So, and no further discussion. Any objection? So ordered. Chair moves Senate Bill 715 as amended to the President's office for removal of the referral to Ways and Means and then to floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objections? So I guess I'll just carry all of this. How's that sound?
It'll make Senator Starr happy.
Bruce Starr. Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you very much, Mark, and we'll continue to work on that and keep us up to date as those amendments.
I will.
If this bill is referred to, I'll talk to her about it.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
I want to thank the work group for working on this and move forward. And it's tough issues, they always have been. So glad we're making progress.
Great. Thank you very much.
This set of bills was some conjunction with what Senator Metzger is doing in his committee on industrial land use and deciding they feel like the bills are compatible. Make it easier to do business in order.
That's correct. This is the construction side, and he's working on the land use.
That's good. So there is some method to our methods. So we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2075. Mr. Dotson.
House Bill 2075, A. Engrossed, revises Oregon Business Corporations Act of 1987 to conform with Model Business Corporations Act. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
Very good. We got some witnesses popping right up here.
Simple little bill.
Okay. We got Andrew Morrow and Robert. Is it Art?
Art, sir.
Oh, very good. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming down and please testify. The only two people testifying, and there is nobody testifying against it, so we have your written testimony. If you want to just kind of speak from the heart and give us kind of an overview of what this is, we can just move this thing forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Andrew Morrow. I'm an attorney in private practice in Portland and am legislative chair for the Oregon State Bar Business Law Section, on whose behalf I'm appearing. House Bill 2075 is a product of some committee work on behalf of the Oregon State Bar Business Law Section, which has supported the Business Corporation Act from the adoption of the current version of it in 1987. I'm going to be very brief, and Professor Art will make a few comments about the substance of the bill, but if there are any questions, I'll answer those.
Okay, very good. You're making technical improvements and updates, and you have a list of five changes going to make. So please introduce yourself and proceed.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, my name is Robert Art. I'm a professor of corporate law at Willamette University and chair of a task force of the business law section of the state bar on corporation law. We were given the assignment last year to review the Corporation Act and see where it needed to be updated and improved in technical ways. Much of our work was to examine changes that had been made to the Model Business Corporation Act over recent years and not yet incorporated in Oregon's Act, and many of these changes are of that nature. For example, there is no provision in current law for electronic submission of proxies and other notices from or between corporations and their shareholders. Now there is. It's just a matter of adapting to new technology. Other aspects affected conversion and merger of business entities. We had made revisions, or we had instituted procedures for corporations to merge with or convert to limited liability companies, as one example. We've made some technical improvements to those provisions. We've clarified the authority of committees of directors. We've clarified procedures for shareholder meetings. Those are the principal provisions. These are changes that are of interest to corporate law practitioners and to corporations in the state, and are improvements to the Corporation Act.
Yeah, so you really are doing a lot of amendments to the sections, but you've gone through this very thoroughly. I haven't heard of any opposition to any of these things. You must have done a pretty thorough job.
Now, on the House side, there was a question raised by the Rural Electrical Cooperatives wanting to a clarification that they could take advantage of the conversion and merger provisions as well, and so we amended for that purpose, but that's the only comment that we've received.
Questions?
Just one, Mr. Chair. Gentlemen, I don't know if you addressed this when you were working on this revision, but is there, short of going to court, is there any way to get shareholders to provide, or the board of directors to provide information to shareholders on a regular basis, the information they're supposed to provide to them, like a yearly report or anything like that?
Well, the publicly traded corporations are subject to Securities and Exchange Commission requirements, but the smaller corporations have only the requirement in the Corporation Act to disclose very limited books and records and allow inspections, but the enforcement of that is up to each shareholder, and litigation is the only alternative.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the reason it came up for me is I had a discussion with Peter Fracco with the Corporation Division, because there was quite an extensive article in the Register Guard about these new startup companies that sold stock and sold investments in their company and then went belly up. And was there a way to protect shareholders more, give it more teeth in the corporation law? But Mr. Throckall just said their remedies are with court. You mean just go to court and get a judge to order the release of that document?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, probably the answer to that is really better addressed in the securities laws than the corporation law. There are
doing that too.
Securities law remedies for obviously for selling those securities without providing adequate information, and that's, I guess, generally viewed as the, you know, the, if you will, the consumer remedy approach to that. But it does require both the action of either litigation by private parties or enforcement action by the Division of Finance and Corporate Securities in the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And in egregious cases, certainly they would take that on.
Yeah, because my discussion with the Corporation Division was they have no enforcement authority.
Right.
They just oversee this stuff in their books. And that's about it.
That's correct. The terms of disclosure, again, that's probably more in the securities area, and that enforcement authority does exist. The Corporation Division historically has never gotten involved in terms of beyond the limited annual reports that are required of corporations, which are basically disclosure of president and secretary and confirmation that the corporation is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Has never really exercised any enforcement authority, and I'm not really aware of any state in which that's done in that area of the corporation law.
But the like the larger corporations, you said they're subject to the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the Securities and Exchange Commission requires periodic disclosure every quarter for the largest corporations, and occasional reports called 8-Ks for material events happening between the quarterly statements. those apply primarily to the publicly traded corporations, and I think not to the ones that were in the news recently in Oregon.
Well, actually, that wasn't even on my radar screen when I had this discussion with them, but that is an issue as well. But we were just talking about trying to get access from a corporation and their board of directors, and they're not always wanting to give that information up. So I did have a meeting with the department this summer, and they're looking at ways to make their program operate better.
Any questions, sir? Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
you coming down. Thank you. Thank you.
With that, no further folks listed to testify, so we'll close the public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 2075 as amended.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
There are no further amendments, so I would move House Bill 2075A in gross. To the floor with a DuPass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Walker moves House Bill 2075 and Gross to the floor of the Senate with a DuPass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Walker, you want to carry that one?
Sure.
Okay, very good. Open up a public hearing on House Bill 2161. Mr. Dodson.
House Bill 2161 allows domestic employers to file unemployment tax reports on a quarterly basis. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
Cool. Welcome again.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Renee Bryant. I'm the UI tax manager for the Employment Department. House Bill 2161 is a relatively easy piece of legislation. In 1999, the legislature passed a law requiring employers who employ domestic employees to report annually. Right now, employers in the state of Oregon report their quarterly payroll on a quarterly basis. This will change the language in the current statute from shall to may, and it will allow employers to report their annual employees on a quarterly or annual basis, depending on the convenience of the employer.
Okay, that's all it does. Right?
That's all it does.
And it's just by changing the word shall to may.
Correct.
Isn't it amazing?
Any questions on this?
I just have to ask, has there been a problem here that has caused this bill to come forward?
Chairman Nelson, Senator Walker, I wouldn't say there have been problems, but since the legislation was passed in 1999, individuals who would prefer to pay their taxes and file their reports on a quarterly basis have let us know that for them it would be more convenient to do it on that basis. So this is strictly a customer service effort to comply with that, those kinds of requests.
Okay, very good. You up on the next one, too?
I believe that Mr. Ewing from the hearings panel is.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we recess the hearing on, let's see, I guess we closed the public hearing, but we still have the option to do a work session.
Mm-hmm.
We close the public hearing on 2161.
2075.
Excuse me.
Sorry,
you're correct. 2161, okay. 2161, and when we get Senator Meyer back, we will go into a work session when we get a quorum. We actually are operating under a subcommittee at the time. So we will stay. I will have a work session this afternoon as soon as he comes back in. Open up a subcommittee hearing on House Bill 2163. And Mr. Nelson.
House Bill 2163 specifies circumstances in which hearing officer may dismiss request for hearing on claim for unemployment benefits. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
We were wondering why we were here today. We thought it was on another bill.
No, only on this one. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Ewing. I'm the chief hearing officer. I will take only 15 seconds. This is a house cleaning bill for the hearing officer panel. It allows us to dismiss cases by statute as opposed to what we have been doing for the last several years, and that is dismissing these cases anyway on our own inherent authority under eight conditions, excuse me. If the request for hearing is withdrawn, if the if there's not enough information to schedule a hearing, if the party did not appear at hearing, if the hearing is unnecessary because a decision has been altered subsequently, if the party failed to request a hearing in time, and if the party files a request for hearing before the administrative decision is even issued. These are things that we've seen over the years, and so we're looking for express statutory authority to do what we have been doing, in fact, for years.
That's a Senator Byers.
Uh-huh.
But that's all. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Proposal public hearing on House Bill 2163, open work session on House Bill 2163, and the chair would move House Bill 2163 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
We're all looking at you.
Hearings officer panel is a good thing. We better vote on the bill.
Okay, if there are no objection, that's so ordered. I guess I can carry that one since Senator Meyer was not in the room.
Okay.
This touches his hot button. Unless you want to give some talk about it on the floor.
About what, the hearing officer panel?
No, about how they're getting statutory authority for something they've been doing.
If you want me to carry it, I'll carry it, Mr. Chair. It's your choice, is yours.
Okay. Senator Meyer would give you an opportunity
to talk about that.
Okay. We'll go back and open up a work session on House Bill 2161,
Mr. Chair. And there are no amendments, so I would move House Bill 2161 to the floor with a due pass for recommendation.
Senator Lark has moved House Bill 2161 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections, any questions? So ordered.
Let me carry that one too.
Sure,
I think I can handle a may or a shall to a may.
Yes. You're a resident expert. So we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2210. Mr. Dodson.
House Bill 2210 directs the Oregon Department of Water Resources to increase the amount of surety bonds or irrevocable letter of credit required for contracting or offering services to contract for well construction, alteration, abandonment, or conversion. Increases amount applicant for permit to construct, alter, abandon, or convert well must stamp in bond or irrevocable letter of credit. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you. Adam, please sit down and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Adam Sussman. I'm the legislative coordinator with the Water Resources Department. It's great to be in a hearing on a bill that's not very controversial. And for water, as Senator Nelson knows, there's few of those.
May turn controversial.
I hope not. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to provide some testimony. I'll speak from the heart, as Senator Nelson suggested. I have passed out some written testimony. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Water Resources Department, through the Groundwater Act of 1955, we do regulate and license well constructors in the state of Oregon. And those well constructors, like many contractors, need to carry a bond. And the licensed well constructors right now, the bond that they carry is $4,000. And individuals constructing their own well carry a bond of $2,000. And over the years, looking at the cost of well construction, it's become pretty clear that a $4,000 bond doesn't even cover the repair or abandonment of one well, let alone cover 3 years of well construction that as it's set up in the statute now. So working with the well drilling community and other stakeholders, we've proposed to up that bond from $4,000 to $10,000. We know that probably isn't the end of the discussion, because that's probably just a small step in the right direction in terms of covering repair and abandonment of wells. And for example, I think it's in the testimony just recently, a case where a well was misconstructed, where it was mixing aquifers, which could lead to contamination. The repair of that well was $8,000. So just to give you an idea, the bond is clearly insufficient. I think that's all I really wanted to describe to you, other than in the hearings on the House side, we've had no opposition. We've had no opposition from the well drilling community, as well as any landowners that are considering drilling or constructing their own wells.
It says that you would increase the bond. It goes from 120 per year to 150. That's from a $4,000 bond to a $10,000.
Right. Chair Nelson, actually, I think the cost right now is about $120, and right, it would actually increase the cost an additional $150. So the incremental cost would be $150. And I think in working with the well drilling community, they were comfortable with that. You know, when you get beyond the $10,000 increment, I think it will take some greater discussion.
Okay, so it's not a $30, it's a $150.
Correct.
Questions, concerns there?
Mr. Chair, I guess my first question would be, how many of the 311 licensed and bonded well contractors in Oregon know about this bill?
Chair Nelson, Senator Beyer, we have pretty extensive communication with the licensed and bonded well drillers in the state, both through the Oregon Groundwater Association and then through a communication that we put out through the department called the Well Said. And through that, we've in numerous occasions described this legislation to increase the bond. So I guess my answer is, I hope they all know about it.
Chair, well, I could be more comfortable about that and find out exactly how many do know about it.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't see their industry group here supporting it.
Or opposing it either.
Yeah, Mr. Sussman, were there any representatives of the industry at the House hearings?
Chair Nelson, Senator Walker, there were, and they were not opposed to the bill. I'm not sure that they want to come and jump up and down and support it, maybe because it will increase the cost of the bond somewhat. But I have to say that having bonded drillers and bonds that cover the cost of their work is actually a benefit for the drilling community in terms of their ability to advertise their services and to advertise that they're bonded in such a way that would actually cover the cost of any mishap that could occur during the construction of the well.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Sussman, what happens when the bond is not enough to cover the mishap as you characterized it?
Chair Nelson, Senator Walker, the landowner becomes responsible for whatever difference there is. And I would also add that there are cases where the bond is so insufficient that the landowner may not even bother going through the hassle of going after the bond, because you have to remember, some of these wells, again, are substantial in terms of the cost, and the time and energy to go after the $4,000 bond may not even be worth their effort.
Okay, further questions? The concern I think Senator Barr is raising is that we're raising some cost to some folks. What we hear a lot of times is that nobody ever told us about this bill. That's what concerns us.
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Your call is saying, well, what are you guys doing that for?
Yeah, again, Chair Nelson, members of the committee, you know, through our communication, we've worked closely with the Oregon Groundwater Association. You know, I guess I'm not sure why they're not here today. I sort of assume that they would be. And through our communication that we have quarterly with all of the licensed and bonded drillers in the state.
And Mr. Chair,
Mr. Sussman, when did you begin notifying the well drillers that you'd be having this legislation this year? A year ago? 6 months ago?
Chair Nelson, Senator Walker, you know, at least 6 months ago, because of the process that we need to go through to develop legislation and pre-file and briefings in front of the Water Resources Commission. I mean, this has been out on the table for several months.
This is an annual bond. Is that how they
correct?
So instead of paying $120, they're going to pay $270 a year.
Correct.
Further questions?
No question, Mr. Chair. I guess I would request that you hold this thing for a couple days and let's see if anything comes out about it to my comfort level. I'd like to have a chance to talk to some of my neighbors who drill wells.
Okay, you might just touch back with
sure.
The folks to see what's going on.
Sure.
We've got the public testimony. If we come back and everybody has a comfort level, that's good. Well, we just move around the work session.
Great.
And thank you
very much
for coming. Close the public hearing and not go into work session on 22 until we answer some of these questions. And as soon as I told you, all these things are controversial. You know, water is never going to. We have no further business before the committee. Our schedule is we've got a couple of days that are open, but I'm sure they'll fill up the House bills, and if we do get the minimum wage bill, that will take up probably a full day. And
we have a securities fees bill we could sort of slip by.
Some of those are done. Well, some of them have to look pretty close.
Yeah, and my wear glasses getting some amendments.
Okay, we have some other Senate bills. So we're going to committee's president told the committee chairs today that, like the Senate bill that has had a hearing, we have until the committee's closed to work those bills. So it's not as though we have this week. There were some people under the impression that if we didn't get it done this week, then we couldn't hear anything else but House bills. But they said we're able to. Any bill that we've heard working, we're able to continue to hear as long as the committee stays on. And that they may, after they close the committees down, they may reopen committees and be the call of the president. But right now, they're still working on shutting the committees down May 2nd.
Good.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, we will close the public hearing.
I'm not a very good artist.